Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to another round of Cinema Wars. I'm your host DJ Ace, and this is the entertainment talk show here on WMCO. And I have three contestants to discuss, nay, battle it out once more in cinematic carnage. This week's question is inspired by my spring break trip. I went to DC, saw some cool stuff at the Air and Space Museum. So this week's question is, what is the best space movie? There's a lot of them to choose from, so I'm hoping for a really cool argument. So, as per the usual, we'll meet your contestants, Chris.
What?
That's when you say something.
Oh, hi.
Andrew.
Aaron, I'm about to become an arson because I'm going to spit some fire.
Oh my God.
No. just no.
And Manda.
Hey, I like movies.
Yes. That's all that you really need.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the contestants, and that is the question. So we're going to jump right into the action. And this is going to be a tough one because I love space movies. So let's see what happens. So starting with Chris, what's your pick?
For my pick, I'm going all the way back to 1982, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
All right, we're good.
Oh, he went there.
No.
Oh, man.
Working on. That's going to be a challenge, mostly because I haven't seen that
Chris
movie.
Wins. Goodbye.
Okay.
No.
I'm kidding.
Okay, are you really that much of a bias for Star Trek?
Yes. Okay. Andrew, what did you pick?
I'm going to go with the scientific phenomenon known as gravity.
Okay, cool.
Blah. I'm kidding. All right, Manda, what you pick?
I am picking the sci-fi horror in space Alien. The first one.
Ooh. I thought about that
good
one.
Pick. Good pick. Yep.
All right. Good picks all around. No one picked Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's
that
okay.
That was one of my backups. Okay.
Or Star Wars, which is really surprising. But
that would have been too easy.
Exactly. Okay. But it might come up later in the bonus round.
Yes, it might.
All right. So as we like to say on here every week, let them fight.
We're not giving an overview first?
All right, you're right. Just, I'm jumping the gun, Chris.
You are jumping the gun. Okay. Maybe I should be the one taking care of all
this. I'm excited,
all right? Apparently.
Okay.
It's a very good topic.
All right, Chris, give me your spiel.
Okay, so in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, we meet back up with James T. Kirk, the fabled captain of the Starship Enterprise, as now he is an admiral in the Federation, continuing to move up the ranks, and Spock is now a captain, and he's kind of teaching the trainees at the Starfleet Academy, and he's trying to get new recruits into the system. The movie starts out with, I can't remember her name at this point in time, but the other Vulcan that ends up being in the original movies, she's taking the Kobayashi Maru, the test to determine if a candidate is worthy to become a captain and get command of their own ship. The test that, coincidentally enough, Kirk cheated his way through. If you know your Star Trek history.
He beat it.
He beat it by questionable methods, to put it lightly, I suppose. But while all of this is going on, a lot of the old Enterprise crew, they're kind of scattered throughout space now on different crews. And two of the original crew members from the Enterprise, one of them being, not Scotty, Chekov. Yeah, Chekov. He's off with another crew investigating another planet that supposedly didn't have any life on it, but they were still getting a distress signal from there. And turns out an old enemy comes back as Khan has been sitting there with his old crew from his ship that was banished to kind of just die on that planet. And they start to take revenge on Kirk and the Enterprise crew, and it just ends up in a huge space battle with the Enterprise and the ship that Khan and his crew had commandeered, so to say, from the Federation and Starfleet. So it ends up being one of those cases classic old enemy coming back to bite you in the butt, and Kirk ends up on top, as always.
Oh, right. Andrew, gravity.
Gravity follows a medical doctor who's brought up into space to help satellite repair, and then she with a head astronaut played by George Clooney, and the lead actress is Sandra Bullock. So you already know this is all. These two are gonna bring their A game, and that a series of Russian satellite debris takes out their the explorer, the ship they're on, and the entire crew. So they are drifting in space. They try to go for this international satellite, and it's got take it to a Chinese ship that's heading into the Earth's atmosphere, and get back home safely. George Clooney is lost and drifted. Sacrifices himself so Sandra Bullock can make it safely to the international ship, and he's forced to drift into space and basically that's how he's killed off. But despite the fact you're just spending the majority of the movie with Sandra's character, she still brings some emotion and when it comes to the real challenges that comes in any space flight.
Okie dokie, Amanda.
All right. No one can hear you scream in space. That is the quote from the trailer of Alien. And this movie follows your average blue-collar trucker, space truckers, into space. And this movie puts a whole new level of terror of just not going out into the unknown, but going out into the unknown against something that you cannot defeat. This has to be one of the greatest space movies because it's not just a futuristic movies that a lot of older movies have, but it's a brand new horror aspect into this great unknown where you follow and you fall in love with these cast and crew, and you watch them brutally get picked off one by one from this creature. And this creature is not your average man in a suit. It is this scary looking, it's an alien, quote the title of the movie, with like no eyes, and it's just something that terrifies you. It's a whole new thing that we've never seen before when it was introduced. And it has Sigourney Weaver, so you know it's a great movie because she is a wonderful actress. And it's just a whole new level of not something that's a military base, not something that's we've already done before, like going out into space. This is something that we don't know how to protect ourselves. And this movie, this first movie, branched out to three and then a few other ones, and there's a new one coming out this year. And you could just tell the fan base loves it just as much as everyone else does. And it's just something to fear more than just the nothingness that is space.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. Well, those are the descriptions as per usual. All right, so now...
Yeah, now you're allowed to say
now it. Now I can say, let them fight.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start off. Obviously, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, one of the all-time classic space movies, even did a lot better in theaters and in the box office than the original Star Trek movie did. So people really loved this movie, got 88% review on Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb was 7.7. Yeah, I'm not done yet. You wait your turn. So anyway, when this movie is just so big of a classic and people just love it so much that even when we get to today's films and the remakes of all the Star Treks coming out, J.J. Abrams specifically changed some of the things that happen in Into Darkness because it would have directly correlated with Wrath of Khan, and they just didn't feel quite comfortable with taking that and just basically remaking the movie. So they changed some things up so that It's modernizing it a little bit, but at the same time, it's still paying homage to the original Wrath of Khan movie. And Benedict Cumberbatch does a fantastic job as Khan in the new movie, but in the original, Ricardo Montalban, one of the greatest all-time actors to fill that role of Khan back in the day. It's just one of those movies that you can't really take too much bad away from. It was very well done. The script was great. The actors were great, even though some people still think William Shatner is garbage, but that's okay. That's their own opinion. I don't agree with it. William Shatner is gold. But
agreed.
Anyway, it's just one of the all-time greats, and that's something that's going to stand up for a very, very long time.
Well, you guys can brag about how out of all time these space movies were so great when they first came out, but you're forgetting they're in the past, and when we get to the as we get more advanced with our technology, we get better quality stuff. And you can't get anything better. One of the best examples of this is Gravity. As much as people let me just say first, ask us first. Who here likes 3D?
I like 3D.
I don't like 3D. I
to a certain extent.
Let me tell you. Gravity uses 3D to its best capability. According to what I've read, the visual effects that are shown in the movie took 3 years to make. I've always been a big fan of things taking time to develop because you're going to get better quality stuff.
Gravity may have been a pretty and a beautiful movie, but it was a very slow movie, and you had less characters to really connect with. The graphics was great and everything, and you could like bash our 80s and 70s movies because of their graphics, but at that time they were pretty awesome. I mean, the alien itself, like the mother alien, was not just a puppet. It was a legit guy over to England. Like the
it's her turn.
Yeah, because like, so you have like our great graphics for our time. So like, just because your movie is beautiful now, it was definitely not like, oh my gosh.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, watched, like, people float in space.
I'm just going to say yours follows the standard of horror film genres. You can't brag too much about its space quality.
Except it happens in space.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
That's the point.
The monster is in space now. That's the difference. That's the only difference between like a movie like Friday the 13th and Alien. It's space.
If you're comparing it to Friday the 13th, who is a person who has mental problems from a creature that you have no clue what it is or what its origins is.
Okay, you just can't do that.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Like a new, which is also just a person that
and
has
not
some
in space.
Problems.
Nightmares.
But anyway.
Invade dreams.
Like, this like development, if you're going to just say it's just a monster, the creator of Aliens went through an airport check, and people legit were so scared of his sketches of these aliens that they pulled them aside, and they had to call the director to like make sure that this guy was all right in the head. So this is not just a monster movie. This is something that was brand new and terrifying.
We don't do hand raises.
I'm raising my hand anyway because I have a point to make. Because going back to the whole special effects argument, studies have shown that people don't really like the new special effects as much as the classics.
I said that
the new special effects are better.
These effects they use to their best quality.
That doesn't mean that they're better.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying. You were saying they were
better.
Like the old stuff better.
There are now jokes about the CGI movies.
Yes.
I'm saying they use it to their best capabilities. You're making a bad comparison to like it follows the standard. It means how it usually plays out. It doesn't play out the same way.
It doesn't matter how it plays out.
We can move away from graphics and just go to storyline and how it, like, it got slow for
best visual effects, best sound mixing. Best sound editing. I'm only saying those because we got a guy who loves sound editing over here.
But you're missing the point. People don't care about the great new special effects. They want the old stuff.
All right. Well, we got to go to break here on CineWars, but this is a crazy discussion, so keep it here on WMCO.
This is DJ Nightman here on WMCO 90.7 to give you the latest news, weather, and coolest tunes. You can listen to me, Mac Burton, where I will also be talking about strange and obscure genres of both films and music. I'll be covering everything from westerns to doom metal every Thursday evening from 6 to 8 here on The Orbit 90.7.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Three contestants, one winner. This is Cinema Wars. Broadcasting Friday evenings at 6 and 10 on WMCO 90.7 with your host, DJ Ace. Tune in each week to hear contestants wage war over questions and topics for their shot at the title of Ultimate Cinema Warrior. Only here on WMCO Friday evenings at 6 and 10.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate, with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 800-385-0422.
Cinema Wars rages on here on WMCO 90.7 with your host, DJ Ace.
You're listening to Cinema Wars here on WMCO. I'm DJ Ace, and our contestants, Chris, Andrew, and Amanda, are discussing best space films, and we're going to resume that discussion right now.
All right, I want to step away from the graphics because I want to say that we all have different like eras where you have beautiful CGI, you have a great model floating in space, and then I have like a big puppet man. But I just want to say with Star Trek, it may have been like really good in the box office and it was like really great sequel, but I really want to say it probably just focused more on Trekkies.
Okay.
In a way where like you had a small, I mean, even though it did really well, you had a small target audience where like you guys say with Gravity and Alien that it brought in new people in a way.
So I can see the point you're trying to make there, and it's definitely a good point. I would argue not kind of the opposite, but kind of in agreeance, but at the same time kind of not. The whole Trekkie group.
It's a tight line to walk across.
It's huge, absolutely huge. More and more people are falling in love with Star Trek, and especially now with the new movies coming out, we've seen a new generation of Trekkies start to be built up. Mm-hmm. So the older generation has been showing the younger generation these classic films like Wrath of Khan and like the original Star Trek. Even Search for Spock, even that was a pretty good one. Journey Home, we don't talk about that one. That one's just garbage. But that kind of helps the generation grow, so to say. So while I see the point you're trying to make, I would just argue that the Trekkie group continues to grow and encompasses a lot more people than people might think.
How much do you say it features? I mean, all I've been getting this generation is probably the latest Star Trek. I You might show reruns of on TV of the old classic ones on like TV or something, but is that really enough to bring in a whole new generation to enjoy what Star Trek was in its prime?
It really is, because at the same time, you've got that older generation helping the younger generation get into it. It's not just about the new movies coming out. It's about people catching interest, and then they can look into it on the internet or something like that, because, I mean, let's be real, anyone that doesn't know that these Star Trek films aren't remakes, then I don't know what to tell them, because they're clearly remakes at this point in time.
I think it does build a new generation of Star Trek with the movies, but like me being one of them, because I love the movies, I really do. But I will not go back and watch any of the series, because I have a hard time getting into that kind of thing. So I will argue. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm too farther into other older series. But so like it does build a new generation, but only to the extent of the new three movies that were made.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think that it just depends on the person, which is an argument that can be made for any movie, really. I mean, there are going to be people that aren't as into Alien or AVP. There aren't going to be as many people that are into Gravity. I know I'm certainly not that into it. I only saw it once, and I was like, it was all right.
I guess another argument I can make with my movie is that it's not based off of, like, it is based off in the future where, like, anything could happen. Like, these are literally just space truckers, so it's not your smartest people out there going out into space and fixing a satellite. It's not your military base like Star Trek. These are just, like, your average collar, like, Joes that are out in space. So, like, that gives it more of, like, a relatable
why are truckers going out into space?
Because it's like out in the future, and they have to take point A to point B.
Instead of trained people,
they are trained. They're cargo ship people. Like they have to take their ship from point A to B, and they get stuck by an alien in between.
They find themselves in a dangerous place. You think they would find? You think there would be?
They weren't expecting it. No one knows anything about this alien. That what makes it great, because like you have these people that you could be in the future, and then that happens to them. Mm-hmm. In a way. And so, like, it's supposed to be these people have nowhere to go, because that's the whole movie aspect. They aren't your trained military, because they're just, like, someone on Elm Street that were just attacked by, like, the curse of that.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw... I can go into a little more detail. I could, but I probably won't go into too much detail about how some of the top scientists in the world, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, have praised my movie Gravity. But I could, but I won't. But one that relates more to what we're talking to this day and age of people who explore space is my movie. When it comes to there is the possibility of in the future that we will find something out there that might scare us. There is,
but people want more.
But the big fear right now that haunts astronauts is that isolation out there, all alone. It's like being
kind of just like the truckers, all alone. Mm-hmm. It's the same aspect.
At least they have each other.
Yeah, but
yeah,
at least,
Sandra Bullock and George Clooney didn't have each other. Apparently,
George Clooney gets killed off. To like one third of the way in.
And people want future movies. This is something that's happening now. Yes, it was beautiful, but people thrive for something that isn't happening, like a utopia in a way.
I said this before when we went into break. There are more movies like Gravity coming out. That's basically the same thing. Martian, Interstellar.
Your movie isn't standing out from the rest.
That's what I'm getting out of it.
What?
Your movie isn't standing out from the rest.
No, I'm not saying that.
You're saying they're just like other movies. They're coming out.
No, I'm not saying...
That's what you just said.
No, but listen to me. I'm saying to you, these are the types of movies that are coming out and are becoming more and more enjoyable. In 2013, when Gravity came out, it was one of the... It was one of the highest grossing movies out in 2013. So was Interstellar, so was Martian, and so on. That means people are coming out to watch them.
All right, you can say that with any movie.
Okay, really quick. It's set up no whole standards, but like I'm gonna bring in a whole other argument of like memorable scenes in a movie. Like yours is just people floating in space. That's what it's known for, people floating in great graphics. And honestly, I can't tell you anything about the original Kong besides the whole like Kong thing.
But all like I with is my the alien well, popping alien, out
yes,
his stomach.
And that was a great scene. They didn't tell any of the actors, and the part that you actually know it after saying in the break that you've never seen the movie, but you know that scene, like stands out from the rest. Like when they filmed that section, no one knew that there was gonna be an alien popping out of the guy's chest. So that reaction that you get in the movie is legit. They're screams of terror.
You want a scene from my movie? It's when it's
floating in space. When
she's trying to get into the international satellite hatch, the debris that was orbiting around the Earth come back and swing around and take out the satellite, and she barely gets into the hatch she needed to right as the debris were coming through, and you see debris from the Russian satellite and the international satellite just fly at the screen.
But that's your movie. It's floating. It's broken satellites. It's getting to safety. It's in like right by Earth. Like that's all I can remember movie.
I mean, it's a race. In a way, it is a race against time every time because she's got like 90. They say in the movie 90 minutes that it takes for the debris to orbit around the Earth and come smacking them right where they are again. They try to get from point A to point B.
And if you're not someone that's really into science like me, it's kind of boring.
I agree. All right, well, we're going to have to wrap things up here, but that was awesome. All right, and then we'll move on to the bonus round. So for the points here, for the point of argumentation, I am actually going to have to swing this one towards Amanda.
And that's not a surprise.
And cool. For the point of creativity, I'm going to have to swing this one towards Chris.
Cool.
Now for the bonus round.
Quote time.
Pulling it up now. Okay.
Billy. Can I actually say the bonus round? Thank you. All right. The bonus round is, what is the best quote in a space movie? Can be any space movie. Doesn't necessarily have to be your space movie that you just talked about. And I was inspired by The Martian because there's a lot of great quotes in there. So,
yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with Andrew.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. 2001, okay. Space Odyssey. Odyssey. Right. It's quiet. It's chilling to the core. It really drives home when the ship starts to turn on the crater.
All right, Chris.
Of all the souls I've encountered on my travels, his was the most human. Sticking with my movie Wrath of Khan, Kirk at Spock's funeral after he perishes on the Enterprise gives that little eulogy, and it's one of those moments where it's really emotional, especially for the diehard fans of Star Trek, the ones that love Spock, the ones that love Leonard Nimoy. It's just a great line that serves its purpose while just being quick, easy, and just there.
Yeah, not the one I would have gone with, but all right. And Manda.
All right, so Andrew actually took mine. So I'm just going to go to the one that's on the top of my hand.
What are you going to do?
I'm just going to do the do or do not. There is no try, because that's from Star Wars, from Yoda. And it's a beautiful one, and everyone knows it. It's on T-shirts, and it's something that people thrive off of. It's very encouraging.
I don't think I can give it to you, Chris. Okay. Just because that one's probably not what most people think of when they think of that movie.
Fair enough.
So between the other two... All right, well, at the end of the day, I'm going to say encouraging goes over chilling, so I'm going to give it to Amanda. That concludes this round of Cinema Wars. Tune in at 6 and 10 on Fridays each week here on WMCO.
The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 6 and 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema Wars. Next time on Cinema Wars, what is the worst superhero movie with a bonus unique twist? The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. Stay tuned for Cinema Central Oscar Talk right here on WMCO.